Blog Talk Radio.
Tyler, you with me?
Yeah, yep, I'm here.
All right, well, thanks for coming on, Tyler, guys. Thanks for tuning into the show. We got a big show tonight. It's going to hit a little bit around a little bit of everything. Couple debatable questions, some fantasy football type of stuff. I'm going to go ahead and jump right into it, and I'm going to try to knock out the quickest part of what I think is going to be. Right now, you know, I was looking at all the divisions, all, you know, everything, and what I did was I came up with who I predict to win each AFC division and each NFC division, and I'll give you who those guys are, and then, Tyler, you go ahead and you'll follow me up and let me know if you agree or if you think someone else is going to win it. Okay. So we're going to start off with the AFC. The AFC East, I have New England. The AFC North, I have Pittsburgh. AFC South, I have the Colts. And the AFC West, I have the Raiders. What do you think?
I can't possibly agree with you on the AFC West. They haven't proven that they can win, have a winning record at all. So it's pretty hard to put eggs in that basket, and I'm not prepared to do that. So I'm going to run with the team that beat them twice last year, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. You can say Homer or Chiefs fan or whatever, but just the simple fact that when we play Derek Carr, we rattle him. He had his worst game last year against us. He threw three interceptions. He doesn't have games like that. So if you're telling me, like, you know, we come down to, like, one game all, that Derek Carr is going to put the team on his back, I don't think so. So that one I disagree with. And the AFC North, I don't believe in the Steelers. So I actually see a bounce back for the Ravens. But the Ravens will probably make the wild card. So I'm actually going to give the division to the Bengals, and I think the Ravens will make the wild card, though.
All right. Well, headed over to the NFC then. The NFC West, I have the Arizona Cardinals. The NFC South, I have the Carolina Panthers. NFC North, I have the Green Bay Packers. And the NFC East, I have the Dallas Cowboys.
You can't – did you say Dallas for the NFC East?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we had already discussed that, and I'm actually leaning more towards either the Redskins or the Giants, but I don't know. I guess coming out the gate, I'd probably give it to the Redskins to repeat and take the division. The NFC West, I could see the Cardinals winning it again, but easily the Seahawks. And the NFC North, you know, if you got a healthy Rodgers, then you're guaranteed 11 wins. So to beat them in that division, you either have to have 11 wins and beat them out by other metrics, or just flat out win 12, 13 games. So I definitely agree with the Packers. I could see another MVP season out of Aaron Rodgers, the almighty. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers is the best in the game, if you ask me. And when you got the best in the game, you got a shot.
Well, this is based on everybody being healthy. You know, Jordy Nelson being healthy, Eddie Lacy being healthy. If for some reason Jordy Nelson goes down again, I would expect the Vikings to take that division again. But I was basing all this off of everybody being healthy.
Well,
so,
yeah. I mean, the Jordy effect was definitely noticeable last year, and the Vikings picked a good year to win the division, I suppose. So congrats to them.
Yeah, and speaking of Jordy Nelson and how he was hurt last year, you know, there was a lot of teams that were basically struck down because there was just so many injuries to key players on their team, and it seemed like everybody had someone injured most of the time. But for me, I made a list. I did about 10 guys who I think will be the most impactful coming back off their injury if they stay healthy. For the next 16 games, I think they'll have the most impact for their team. And then I'll go through them, and we'll go one by one, and you tell me if you think he'll either make an impact or it's not going to make a dent at all, if it's just going to be the same. Number 10, I got Andy Dalton. I think if he wouldn't have got hurt, and, you know, towards the end of the playoffs, I think that the Bengals could have done something special. But I think he was the most valuable player to have gotten hurt. And I think once he comes back, it was just a thumb, but he couldn't play. But I think
he's your number
comes back,
one?
No, number 10.
Oh, number
this
10,
number,
okay.
Yeah, this is the last one. So Andy Dalton, I think right now, you know, he did lose, you know, Marvin Jones and Sanu, but I think he's going to be still type of quarterback that still gets something done with what he's got.
Well, Andy Dalton, like, for example, every year when I do my fantasy football, I have my, you know, my big board or whatever, and I literally just cross names off that I'm literally just not interested in, won't even look at. And Andy Dalton's one of those guys this year, with the loss of his offensive coordinator and two receivers. He can make an impact coming back, but listen, A.J. McCarron still won them some games, and they would have lost to the Broncos regardless. They held the Panthers, the Steelers, and New England to less than 20 points apiece. So the Bengals would have scored about 7. In comparison to New England and the Panthers' dynamics of offenses and how they were able to shut that down, his impact would have been significant for those couple weeks at the end of the season to where maybe they could have gotten a higher seed, but in the playoffs, I don't think it would have mattered because Andy Dalton is Andy Dalton. I don't, you know, there's a reason why he was considered an average quarterback just a year ago. And this is his first, like, you know, well, look at that guy year, I suppose. So, yeah, he can have an impact, sure.
All right. Number 9, I've got Steve Smith Sr. What do you think about him?
Well, Steve Smith's a Hall of Famer. You know, and then the impact he had on the field when he was on the field last year, it was obviously significant. So, you know, he's going to have an impact. Honestly, I think I'd have him a little higher, considering the fact that Breshad Perriman just tore his ACL. Obviously, he's supposed to be a guy for the Ravens. They took him in the first round just 2 years ago. So, last year, you know. So, yeah, I think he should be higher on this list, maybe around the 5 range.
All right. Well, number 8, I'm sitting at. I got the Honey Badger coming back for the Arizona Cardinal defense. How big of an impact do you think he can make if he stays healthy for all 16 games?
If the Honey Badger is put, I think we'd be talking a different game as far as that Packers one that went down to the very wire in the playoffs last year. That wouldn't have happened because, I mean, quite simply, all right, so Tyrann Mathieu should probably be higher because we're talking about a guy who's one or two at his position, you know, the best or the second best at his position. So when you got a guy like that, then I think he should be higher because, there is an impact. So I would have him higher as well.
All right, number seven, going back to the Ravens, I got Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, Terrell Suggs. Well, I mean, Elvis Dumervil was hurt last year, too, a little bit. So you kind of combine those two if you wanted to. But Terrell Suggs not only brings what he does to the game, because, as far as getting sacks or whatever, but he's a thoroughbred leader in the locker room and on the field. So, but I think this is right where he's at, though, right around the seven range.
All right. And number six, I got your guy. I got Jamaal Charles. What do you think he can last 16 more games, or you think it's not going to make much of a chance if he's on the field or not?
Jamal's my boy, right? All-time leading rusher for the Chiefs. But if he had 200 carries, then that would be fine. You know, he doesn't need 300. We got Charkhandrick and Spencer Ware, so we don't have to, overload him with touches, even though he will see the field a significant amount, but probably around – what people don't realize about the Chiefs and Jamaal Charles is he doesn't get as much touches as people think. He accounts for a good amount of our offense, but his snap count isn't necessarily as – or his carries – aren't really even close to the next guy who might be leading the league, in rushing or whatever. So, I don't know. This sounds about right, too. Six for Jamaal Charles, because we saw what Charkhandrick and Spencer Ware could do last year, and we were the number four rushing offense last year, I believe. So, I'll take that without Jamaal,
Pretty good. Number five. Now, this guy, in my opinion, he was part of the worst trade that I've seen in a while go down in the NFL. But he had a rough start. He got hurt. But towards the end of the season, he started picking up a rhythm. And that's the guy that I'm used to seeing. That's Jimmy Graham. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the biggest fantasy disappointments of last year. He was taken pretty high in a lot of leagues, so I don't think it makes much of an impact if he comes back, to be honest with you, because Russell Wilson's stats really blossomed when he was out. So, Russell Wilson was starting to hit that stride late in the season, but for some reason when he went out, he just exploded. So I don't know if they were forcing him into the system and trying to, do it Jimmy Graham's way, or whatever. I don't know. But I know that he was blocking a lot and he didn't like that. So I don't think his impact's really that high at all. I don't even know if I would have him on this list. Maybe at 10. But Jimmy Graham is, until we see something in a Seattle uniform, I mean, he hasn't shown anything. So.
Yeah, I mean, this would be his second or third year in the system. So it's gonna. I think Jimmy Graham was a bust in the trade, but I think this might be his either show me something this year or he might be traded again. So we'll see how that goes down. Now, the next four guys, I think, are pretty much four of the most explosive guys that got hurt last year that can really make that you definitely notice when they're not on the field. Number four, I got Andrew Luck. I think if he comes back, I definitely think that for 16 games, if he can make it, I think Colts definitely take that division hands down. I don't think they can afford to have him off the field. What do you think?
Oh, Andrew Luck, for sure. He's a superstar in the league. I think he would honestly be my number one on this list, even without. What's that?
I didn't say anything.
Okay. I think he'd be my number one on this list. People are just taking him off of that pedestal now because he got injured last year, but he's still, in my eyes, he's still a top five quarterback. When he plays 16 games, he either puts up ridiculous stats. He led the league in touchdowns 2 years ago, I think he'd be my number one, to be honest with you. I think Le'Veon would be my number two, but D'Angelo Williams still did, fairly well with Le'Veon out. And that's why I would have Jamaal Charles so low, because, the impact wasn't really that significant, looking at what the other running backs put up. But when you look at what the Colts, they could have won they could have won a couple more games with luck in and be in the playoffs at the very least with a battered up team, but they're working on it, I suppose.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, I'm at least my number three guy.
Did you say Le'Veon?
Yep.
Oh, right. Yeah, he'd probably be my two.
Well, my number two guy is obviously Jordy Nelson. I think once he comes back on the field and he doesn't get hurt, and you got him, you got Aaron Rodgers, you got Eddie Lacy, who's been losing a tremendous amount of weight and put on some muscle. I think you've probably got one of the most quickly scoring offenses in the league, especially with Aaron Rodgers. So I think Jordy Nelson, he's definitely an impact guy. And you'll know when he's not on the field because, James Jones isn't there anymore. So, some of the rookies are now stepping up. They got rid of Richard Rodgers. So, we'll see how the team goes if he goes down. But I think they need him on the field. For Rodgers' sake, they need him on the field.
Yeah and no. I like the, right around four or so, without Jordy on the field, by the metrics, the Green Bay Packers were the slowest wide receiver group in the NFL last year, by measured, speed. That's not good. And with Jordy, there's so many options because he can run the short routes. And then if you want him to take the top off the defense, White Lightning can do it. So you're going to want to have two sets of eyes if you see Jordy run more than about 7 yards, So he definitely commands attention, and that makes an impact. So, yeah, pretty high on the list.
All right. And number one, I'm not being a bandwagon guy here. I'm just stating a fact. I got Romo at number one.
I figured that at this point, we saw some pretty bad quarterback play, but for example, I don't know if we're about to get into it or not, but Dez Bryant, a complete disappointment last year. I know he had an injury, and people say he tried playing through it, but it looked like he was giving up mid-play because it was just, you got a wide receiver who's supposed to be considered top five. DeAndre Hopkins, look at his numbers, with four different quarterbacks. And Dez Bryant goes out there and catches, 21 balls or something, 30 balls. He played about, eight games? Seven or eight games, you should expect more. And, with Romo coming back, I'm sure it does make an impact, but the window is really small for the Cowboys. So, You know, I definitely wouldn't have him as my number one, because I already told you, you know, he'd probably be right around that five, I suppose, you know, because their quarterbacks were pretty atrocious last year. But who's to say that Dak Prescott isn't the next Russell Wilson? Okay, who's to say that Dak Prescott doesn't go on the field and lead the Cowboys to the playoffs? You know, we've seen it, obviously. So, there's not a lot of guys like Russell Wilson, but, you know, it's a pretty unfair comparison. So, you know, Romo would be around my five, but I can see why you think it would be a pretty significant thing for your team, you know.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the only thing I got to say about the Dez Bryant thing is his injury wasn't like it was an upper body injury. It was his foot. Receivers need their feet and their hands. So, I mean, sometimes, yeah, he probably had to slow down, or he probably had to, you know, not push it because he didn't want to further, you know, that could have been a career ending if he, you know, if something went wrong again while he was making a play. So, I mean, I understand how people would think that, I mean, the whole team was a disappointment, but the whole team was, they had everything going wrong for them at a time. The only consistent player last year was our kicker. So, you know, it's one of those things that after a while you start seeing who you need on the field in terms of who you want on the field, if that makes any sense to some people. But, you know, it's been a while since I mean, I don't know about you, but for me it's been a while since I've talked fantasy football, well, anything fantasy-wise. But what I did was I came up with about 15 or 16 fantasy predictions, and I want to see what your take is on them. I want to see if you think that it's possible or if it's not possible. And if it's not possible, you know, obviously, you know, give me a reason why. If you think it is possible or even close to being that way, you know, let me know. Number 16, I'll start, you know, obviously I'm always going to start at the bottom. So number 16, I think Giovanni Bernard, I think this is going to be the year that he breaks out and he ends up being he finishes just inside the top 10 of fantasy running backs. What do you think?
Possible. His all-purpose yards are always above 1,000. He's got a good amount of catches every year. He literally only started two games last year. So he's yet to earn that starting role, but I don't see why he shouldn't get it over Jeremy Hill, and I think that happens this year. So I agree.
All right. Number 15. Staying with the running backs, I'm going to go to Amir Abdullah. I think, you know, a lot of people are expecting him to start getting into a rhythm, but I honestly don't think it's this year. I think Amir Abdullah probably this year and next year before he gets into a rhythm. So I think he finishes at the lower end of the running backs in fantasy football.
Is Droik Bell still there?
Yes, Droik Bell is still there. And he's coming off of an injury.
I'm just gonna agree, because Theo Riddick is pretty underrated there, and I can see him kind of taking over there as a dark horse. But I'm just gonna say that's possible.
All right. Number 14, fantasy running backs. Ezekiel Elliott will be the top guy.
Not possible. You said he's going to end up number one this year?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yep. And fantasy-wise, not, you know, regular, you know, not obviously real life. I'm talking about like fantasy numbers wise. He ends up the top fantasy running back.
I'm just gonna say no. We haven't seen anything like that since, like, I don't know, Eric Dickerson, who, like, led the league and won MVP as a rookie. So, you know, I'm just gonna say no. And if we want, I mean, I'm just going off history, you know. So, no.
It's fantasy. You know, anything can happen. That's why I put it in there, just to see what I could get out of you. Number 13, I think over the past couple years, I think Drew Brees has been underrated. A lot of people are passing on him and getting
Breezy's
like
the
younger. Well, in fantasy draft, you know, people have been passing on him. I did a mock draft the other day, and Jameis Winston went before Drew Brees. So I think I'm saying that a lot of people are going to undervalue Drew Brees this year in your drafts, and I think that he's going to make a lot of them pay for that. I think he's still underrated because the past couple of years, you know, he hasn't been the Super Bowl Drew Brees that we've seen, but he's still putting up a lot of numbers, still putting up good numbers, good stats. He's throwing for, you know, close to, you know, 4,000 yards a season. So I think he's going to be undervalued this year. What do you think?
I think, well, 3,400 yards is nothing that Drew Brees, I mean, he's always over 4,000 yards. I mean, I'm pretty sure the last time he threw under 4,000 yards was like a decade ago. So, just to put this in perspective, no other quarterback in NFL history has thrown over 5,000 yards twice or more than once, except for Drew Brees, who's done it four times. So, and these are recent seasons. Just 2 years ago, him and Ben Roethlisberger tied for the most yards in the NFL. And that was around the 4,800 range. Last year, he goes out and he's still putting up numbers. So, Drew Brees, man, he will. What's the question, though? Because I don't think I really got the question. I just got excited about Drew Brees.
The question was, do you think people are still going to undervalue Drew Brees in the fantasy football draft?
Oh, yeah. Just based on, like, age, you know, I think Jameis is going to take that next step, though, this year. So, I mean, I would look at Jameis before Drew Brees, if I'm being honest, because with Drew Brees also comes interceptions. Jameis didn't have a boatload of those last year. I definitely think those are going down. He also ran for 6 touchdowns last year, Jameis Winston did, and that's obviously a dynamic you don't get with Drew Brees. And by the way, that was literally half of their team's rushing touchdowns. They totaled 12 last year, and Doug Martin was the second leading rusher in the NFL. So if Jameis sees it, he takes it, and those are fantasy points. That's 6 points apiece. So he will be undervalued, yes.
All right.
By me included, I suppose.
Number 12, Sterling Shepard will be the top rookie wide receiver in fantasy.
I do like Sterling Shepard, but I think you got to look at the guys who are going to be number ones, or you can, you know, kind of make a case to be the number one. Because obviously Sterling Shepard isn't going to start over Odell Beckham Jr. That's just, you know, nonsense.
Obviously.
So,
you know,
I suppose you're looking at guys like Corey Coleman for the Browns and Josh Doctson, maybe Laquon Treadwell is going to start there. I'm sure Stephon Diggs, he'll just move around, kind of like Jarvis Landry, I think. Jarvis takes the least amount of snaps at the number one spot. And they drafted Laquon Treadwell to play at the number one spot. So Laquon, Corey Coleman, or Josh Doctson. If I really had a choice, I'd actually say Josh Doctson ends up leading all rookies in fantasy numbers next year, rookie wide receivers.
All right. Number 11, we're going back to the Ravens. This is why I brought up the Steve Smith thing earlier. Kamar Aiken, obviously, when Steve went down, Kamar Aiken was the guy, and he made some pretty spectacular catches, but he only had 8 touchdowns last year. I'm saying Kamar Aiken is going to have at least 10 touchdowns this year.
Are you? What was the question about Kamar Aiken?
Do you think he can have it? Do you think he's going to have at least 10 touchdowns?
If I mean Steve Smith, he's not He's not accountable for 16 games every year. So I think at some point in the season, Kamar Aiken's going to be starting for a couple teams. I'm sure, just like he was last year. So I'd just say that Kamar Aiken probably had the same amount of production as last year.
I mean, he only had 8 last year, so it's not that big of a drop if he stays the same. I just think that, you know, maybe he can boost up, you know, maybe he just has one awesome game where he has, you know, 2 or 3 touchdowns. So it's just one of those things that got me thinking. Number 10, I got Keenan Allen. I think he's going to get at least 12 touchdowns in fantasy. What do you think?
12?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I could see that for sure. He was on pace to have the 3rd most catches in NFL history by the season, and he would have ended up with about 134 catches, I believe. And Antonio Brown is at 138, I believe, at 2nd place. So, yeah, I'd say yeah. Out of 100 plus catches, 12 of them will be for a touchdown, I'm sure.
All right. And number 9, we all know what Allen Robinson did last year. You know, he broke out. He was a great receiver for Blake Bortles there in Jacksonville. But I'm saying at number 9, just a thought, that Amari Cooper will be this year's Allen Robinson.
No, because Allen Robinson wasn't the go-to guy his first year. So the spotlight is on Amari Cooper, and it has been. And guess what? Amari Cooper led the league in drop passes last year. This was essentially Allen Robinson's first full season. He was drafted 2nd round out of Penn State 2 years ago. I believe he had an injury and didn't see much of the field. So it's kind of his coming out party, and he really put on a show. I just think he brings more than Amari Cooper does. So I'm going to say no.
Number 8, C.J. Procise will be Seattle's leading fantasy running back.
Yes. I'll say yes. Yes. I agree.
Okay. Number 7. Now, we all know in Miami, Adam Gase is the new head coach. You know, he loves to work with quarterbacks and he loves to work with running backs. He's worked with Tannehill before, but, you know, a lot of people were confused when they drafted Jay Ajayi coming out of Boise State with that knee injury. He didn't really do anything. But Adam Gase, I think he's the coach that Jay needs. So I'm saying that Jay Ajayi could finish as the new Miami lead running back in fantasy numbers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see why not. They said,
I mean, all the running backs right now, they're beaten up. Yeah, I mean, right now he is the starter, but they're all beaten up. You know, they don't have a running back that has been healthy. You know, they let go of Lamar Miller for some reason. But, you know, can this be the season where, you know, Jay does what he did in Boise State?
I mean, he's the leading, yeah, he'll lead the Dolphins in fantasy numbers. I mean, not overall fantasy numbers, but running backs.
All right. Number 6. I've got the Jacksonville Jaguars defense and special teams will be top 5 in numbers and top 5 in the top five defenses or within the first five defenses taken in draft?
No. No. I've already done some drafts, and they weren't even drafted, to be honest with you. I don't know. Somebody must have been under influence of something if they would take them above these five other defenses. You know, Seattle, the Cardinals, the Texans even the Broncos are still there. New England has sacks all over the board. Kansas City could throw up for our special teams. They typically make an impact every year. So Jacksonville, no. I disagree.
All right. Dez Bryant returns as a top five wide receiver.
No. I think DeAndre Hopkins kind of took his spot this year in the top five because Antonio's been there. You know, Julio kind of put his name in the game last year. He's been a top five receiver since last year. And then also Odell Beckham coming into his sophomore year is kind of considered one of the top five wide receivers. And after this year, I don't have a problem with saying that Odell Beckham, I take him over Dez Bryant. And I'm sure that might cause a conflict with you maybe, but I'll take Odell over Dez Bryant.
Wise.
Huh?
Not fantasy-wise.
I think
I've taken Odell Beckham over Dez Bryant in drafts, and I've traded Dez Bryant for other players that I've used to trade for Odell Beckham. So, I mean, fantasy is a different aspect to me, you know, because as a fantasy player, you basically, you know, for me, you know, every player I draft, I tend to like to watch. So no matter what, you know, something's going to be good for me. But, you know, can he? We don't know. But moving on, number four. In Denver, Devontae Booker will end up as the number one running back.
No. I'm going to say C.J. Anderson.
You still believe in C.J.?
I think Gary believes in C.J. down the stretch. I think he to him. So I think CJ will start the season, and it just kind of depends on what he does. But Devontae over Ronnie Hillman for sure.
Number three, John Brown, wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, will be a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy.
No. Honestly, I like Floyd and Larry Fitz over him this year still. So I'm going to say no. Probably around the 20, 15 to 20 maybe.
Okay. Number two, Kirk Cousins will be a top 10 fantasy quarterback.
Kirk Cousins, Captain Kirk. Yes. I say yes all the way.
All right.
He's definitely got the receivers. Sorry, I just had to close my door there. Definitely has the receivers and such, so, and the arm, the talent, so yes.
All right. Number one, Antonio Brown will score 22 touchdowns this year.
No, I don't know about all that, so I'm going to say no. Isn't that a record? No, 20.
That'll be breaking the record. 24? The record is 21.
21? No, I'm going to say no, no.
Does he break 20?
It's plausible, but no.
He had 18 last year.
What was that?
He had 18 last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still going to say no, I think.
All right. No problem. All right. Now for the big question. I've already asked it on Twitter. I've got a couple responses back. Out of, you know, I already know your answer, but you're going to go, I want you to go more in depth. Out of Richard Sherman, Darrell Revis, and Patrick Peterson, who's the best defensive back?
The best cornerback in the NFL is Darrell Revis. He's been the best cornerback. He had one bad year, and that was with Tampa Bay because Greg Schiano wanted to play him in a zone defense, and that was completely ridiculous. And everybody knew it. As soon as he went to New England, they won a Super Bowl. I don't think they would win that Super Bowl or even get to the Super Bowl without Darrell Revis on their team. So that's my take on it. He's the best cornerback in the NFL. Look what a difference the Jets' pass defense was from last year to 2 years ago because Darrell Revis came back. So.
Well, I'm picking Patrick Peterson for the reason that I think he has qualities from Richard Sherman, Darrell Revis, and he has qualities of Joe Hayden, all put together into him as a defensive back because he's in a defense that asks their cornerbacks and their safeties to do so much and so much more than any other defense asked their defensive backs to do. He is all over the field no matter what. He's doing so many different types of coverages. Now, granted, you know, he's not a I don't know how to put it. I mean, obviously Darrell Revis, you know, he's got, you know, Revis Island or whatever. But, you know, Patrick Peterson, he doesn't trash talk as much as Sherman or Darrell Revis does. And I think that's why he's been underrated a lot, because when he does talk, it's not, I mean, then people get excited about, you know, he got excited about the play that he did or his level of play for the game or whatever. But you always hear Richard Sherman talking crap about everything. Darrell Revis has his major opinions on most of the things in the NFL that tend with him and other defensive players. But Patrick, he just goes out there and plays. And I think he's very underrated. And I think if you put Patrick Peterson, his play up against, I think he beats out Sherman. And I think it's a close call with Revis.
I think Peterson over Richard Sherman. But I mean, we could be talking about Marcus Peters in the same conversation next year, so let's just keep an eye on that guy.
Well, I mean, he's going into his second year. I'm not going to say that he's going to be the next – he's the best defensive back in the NFL next year when – I mean, these guys have been playing for years and put in the time and the sweat and their ability to do this. And Marcus hasn't yet.
Wasn't Josh Norman vaulted into that conversation over an 18-game period?
Josh Norman was talked up like that because of the hype of the entire team. And it just so happens to be that some of the plays that the Panthers won or that they needed were on Josh Norman's side. It doesn't mean that he was the best defensive back in the NFL. It just means that things went to him and he made a play, you know, and it's his rookie year. I mean, this is his second year. Now he's with Washington. If he was the best player, they wouldn't have rescinded his franchise tag. They would have paid him what they thought he deserved, and then he would have had to show something. But I can't put anybody into a conversation of the best of any position until you give me, like, 5 or 6 good, consistent years.
Yeah, I was just kind of throwing it out there, trying to make it a little funny. you know, I know this, but, I mean, if he has another lockdown season and picks off 7 passes, 15 in his first 2 years, then we do kind of have to talk about him going into his third year, you know.
Yeah, but you got to think he's in a different division
Darrell
now.
Darrell Revis was the best cornerback since his second year, since 2008. So, you know, I don't think that's too far of a stretch to say.
Well, I mean, if he can do, if he can give me, I'll say this, if he can give me 8 interceptions this year in Washington's defense, then I'll start talking about him being a top-tier defensive back in his second year of play.
Oh, I was talking about Marcus Peters, not Josh Norman. Josh Norman has been in the league for about 5 years, 4 or 5 years, but he just started and, you know, just started starting for them a couple years ago and kind of really hit the scene towards the end of 2014 and then obviously balled out in 2015. And now he's with Washington, so.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? All these debates are good, but I've got one more thing. And this is kind of a – this question, I think it really makes you think because this handles – to me, I'm looking at the question I'm going to ask you is I'm looking at it that – and it deals with the young quarterbacks in the league, the ones that are, you know, that are getting drafted into the league or have been in for, like, Winston, Mariota. You know, I'm looking at the young quarterbacks that if you have to take a chance on a quarterback, you know, and you need one, you need to – this question to pick, you know, goes to that team because I'm looking at quarterbacks like Cody Kessler who could use this or – you know, something else. But, this, you know, this is the last item on my list. So this should go pretty quick. But should the NFL – should NFL teams that deal with young quarterbacks, should they adopt a no-huddle offense?
Do they what? I'm sorry.
Do they need to adopt a no-huddle offense for young quarterbacks?
I don't know. Are you talking about rookies in general?
Yeah, I'm talking about rookies. And the reason why I brought it up is I have 3 reasons why I think it would be a good idea. And number one, it literally puts them into a comfort zone. They've been running 7-on-7 or spread offenses that run the hurry up in college and high school. And it teaches them the basics of, you know, how to get the rhythm of a game going. And I think if you can do that with a young quarterback and he can get up there and he can look at the line of scrimmage and he can go ahead and read the defense and he keeps doing that, he's in a comfort zone because he's been doing that from day one since he started playing football. I think that's the biggest problem, that they take these quarterbacks out of their comfort zone and try to put them into their system. And when it fails, they get mad at the quarterback when they're trying to, but they're learning a brand new system. So number one, I think it puts them into a comfort zone. Number two, it allows for simple, very simple passing routes, okay? You can have slants. You can have curl routes. You can have wheel routes. You can have, you know, cut-ins, cut-outs, posts, slants. And it, you know, they're not going to be deep routes. But when you do the hurry-up offense, you have the ability to make these short routes count for something. You know, 4 yards at a time, you know, it's going to move the ball downfield, which comes to my number three. It's going to help them put the ball downfield, move the ball, get first downs, get them into the end zone where they can either score a field goal or a touchdown regardless. But it also puts the defensive coordinators in a handcuff because it basically takes away their play sheet. If you take away the play sheet of the defensive coordinator and your quarterback is comfortable with what he's doing, then – you know, your team is going to be successful, which is why Chip Kelly's offense the first year worked out really well because nobody could stop it because that same defense is all on the field you lose time for substitutions. Your starters get so tired that they can't even play like they need to for the full, 3 hours of play. So, I mean, do you think that teams should start looking at doing that for young quarterbacks coming out until they get comfortable?
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much, hit on it. So, there's not much more to elaborate on. It's always about a comfort level with rookies. You know, look at Ryan Leaf. If you're not comfortable in your own room, if you're not comfortable in your own locker room, and you're not comfortable in the offense in general, going, but sometimes it takes uncomfortable situations to force out the great ones. Let's just take, for example, Peyton Manning's rookie year was terrible. It was not good. So do you think that he was comfortable his first year? I don't think so. But did he work it out and became one of the all-time greats? Yeah. Look at Brett Favre. He was drafted by the Falcons. He wasn't always an all-time great for the Packers. He was uncomfortable at one point. So, being comfortable is good. Look at Jameis Winston. He felt pretty comfortable from the get-go, and that worked out well for them. Blake Bortles, his rookie year was horrendous. He came back and he did what he did last year. So I think we'll still see the same things out of Blake Bortles the next year. But I see what you're saying.
Hitting on that brings us to the end of the show. I understand it was, I kind of hit everything. I want to thank you for coming on, Tyler. I hope you had a great time on the show tonight. Hope you had fun with it. I'm going to try to do more of these shows down the road where, we hit a little bit of everything and really dive into some questions that really make us think about football and fantasy wise.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you about Wednesday, and I got a couple different segments with my fan block. I'll be having a fan on, so it'll just be me and him, and some other segments I might do solo. So. I'll let you know and see if we can have you on for about a half hour or so.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Tyler, once again, I want to thank you for coming on, guys. If you're listening, thanks for listening and tuning into the show. Hope you had a great time. As Tyler said, he's got a show coming up on Wednesdays. That's his slot. And then I've also talked to Rhino. He's thinking about having a show on Fridays. So there's going to be some more shows coming on. I want to thank you all for coming out again. Tyler, just get with me whenever you can, and we'll talk about Wednesday. Other than that, guys, have a great night, and we'll see you all next week.